This is lecture two in the nervous system lecture series, and I'm going to start off talking about how a message moves along a neuron. And we're going to begin with some just basic observations. And it's kind of interesting. We begin with the idea of voltage. And it turns out that when scientists first studied this, they wanted to study how electrical signals move down axons. And so they had to find an organism with really large neurons so that they could actually physically put a voltmeter you put one end inside the axon, the other end would be outside, and, you know, it's tricky. So what they used is they used squid, because squid have very large axons. And they took a voltmeter, and they literally stuck one end inside the axon, the other was outside. And when they looked at it, they saw that the voltmeter read negative 70 millivolts in potential. Now, I know in our physics classes here, we don't discuss electricity and magnetism, which, you know, maybe we should. We probably should, actually. But we don't. So the idea of voltage and potential maybe doesn't mean a lot to you, but let's just put it in real simple language. It means that the inside of the cell is negative with respect to the outside of the cell. In other words, it's not neutral across the membrane. Now, you'll probably ask yourself, well, why is this? And the key ideas to remember that, you know, about what I'm going to talk about are the following. First of all, it's all about the cell membrane. If you really want to understand how nervous transmission works, it's all about the cell membrane. And so we need to look at the cell membrane, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to begin in the next slide talking about the nature of the resting potential. And once again, it's due to the nature of the cell membrane. And so I'm going to kind of walk you through how this works. The first thing you need to know is that inside the cell are these large negative ions, and they can't get out. And what I'm talking about are protein molecules, and they're negatively charged, and they're so big, there's no way they can ever move across the membrane. So they're always there, and they're always negative. Secondly, you need to know that the membrane is impermeable to sodium ions and potassium ions. So they can't move. Wherever they are, they'll just stay. They'll either stay outside or inside. Now, I'm lying a little bit because it turns out that the membranes are slightly leaky to both potassium and sodium. And so the potassium is leaky in the outward direction, and the sodium is leaky in the inward direction because they want to move down their concentration gradients. And you'll see what I mean by that in a few minutes. But basically, the best way to think about it is that they're impermeable. You also need to know that there's two special kind of channels. There's a channel for sodium ions, and there's a channel for potassium ions. And these are channels that go right through the membrane. But what's special about these channels is they have a gate on them, just like you might have a gate around your yard. And the gate's there to prevent people maybe from coming. Like if you lock the gate, people can't come into your yard, right? Well, that's exactly the same thing that goes on in the cell membrane. There are these little gates, and so they prevent the movement of sodium or potassium through the membrane. However, if you open the gate, then either sodium or potassium can come through these special ion channels. But if we are at resting potential, the gates are closed, okay? And the other thing you need to know is that there's a special thing built into the cell membrane, and it's called the sodium potassium pump. And what it does is it pumps sodium out of the cell, and it pumps potassium into the cell. And it does it all the time, 24/7. It's always doing this. It's kind of like your heart. From the moment your heart started beating until the day you die, your heart's going to be beating 24/7, right? Well, same thing is true for the sodium-potassium pump. It's always happening in the background, you know, so just kind of keep that in mind. So as a result of the sodium-potassium pump, there is much more sodium outside the cell and much more potassium inside the cell, and that's important. So on my next slide, let's just kind of summarize what we said from the last slide. And And what's nice is there's a little illustration here that can help us sort of visualize what's going on. So first of all, the basic idea that I just talked about, the membrane, the cell, the axon membrane is more negative inside, negative 70 millivolts inside. And so if you see my illustration down here, you'll see a little negative signs on the inside of the membrane. And that means it's positive on the outside of the membrane. And we call this the resting potential of the nerve. When the nerve's at rest, this is what's going on, when it's kind of just chilling. And this is why when we talk about nerves, we say that the membrane is polarized. It's not neutral. There's actually a differential from negative to positive across the membrane. If it were neutral, there would be, you know, you wouldn't have pluses and minuses across the membrane. It would just be all the same, okay? And if you look at my picture here, you'll see that there's a sodium-potassium pump embedded in the membrane, and you'll notice that it uses ATP. That's what basically provides the energy source. And that's one of the reasons, you know, way back at the early part of the course, we talked about cellular respiration. The purpose of cellular respiration is to convert glucose into ATP. And you might have asked yourselves, why? Here's one of the reasons why. The sodium-potassium pump, which works 24/7, always needs ATP. Without it, the sodium-potassium pump would not work. Without the sodium-potassium pump, your nervous system wouldn't work, which means the 100 billion, you know, cells in your brain and your spinal cord and all the peripheral nerves wouldn't work. So you can see how important ATP is, because this has got to be going on all the time. Now, like I said, so what I've just told you is true of all nerve cells at rest. That is when they're not stimulated. Now, in my next slide, I talk about what's called a graded potential. Let me just say something about this. A graded potential is a stimuli which causes the membrane to slightly change from its normal negative 70 millivolts. And there's only two ways it can go. It can either become hyperpolarized, which means it's more negative than the resting potential, or it can become depolarized. It becomes more positive than the resting potential. And if you actually look at the graph on the right, you need to become familiar with these because you'll be reading these graphs, you know, on my tests and also on the AP exam. On the y-axis is membrane potential, in other words, in millivolts. And I want you to look at it. Where is zero on this? Where is zero on my graph? You see it? Yeah. It's up there towards the top. That's where zero is. If you go down, you'll see, oh, negative 70 is way down here, and you'll see that's where the red is. That's basically where the resting potential of the membrane is. But you'll notice that here, it's actually going even lower than negative 70, and we call that hyperpolarization. Let's say the membrane were not polarized, where would the red line be? If the membrane were not polarized, where would the red line be? At zero. But because it's polarized, it's way down here at negative 70. So if we want to make it hyperpolarized, it's going to be even further away from zero, which is what that means right there. You see it further away from zero. Now, in the next little picture, you'll see that it's depolarized. And what that means is it's less polarized, which means it's closer towards zero. So that's what depolarization means. You need to be familiar with those terms because we're going to be using them a lot. Okay? Yeah. You'll see. It's coming up in the next few slides. So we say that this is graded because it slowly changes. You know, it gets a little bit more, a little bit less. It's graded, you know, kind of stepwise. Now, in the next slide, I talk about what's called an action potential. And what's interesting about an action potential is it's completely different than a graded potential. And you can see it illustrated here in my graph to the right. We said that a membrane will sort of exhibit what we call graded potential until it reaches a threshold. And so you can see over to the right, it's becoming depolarized slowly, 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 going from negative 70 to negative 65, negative 60. Finally, once it hits what's called threshold, which is about negative 55, all of a sudden, it no longer continues to become graded, but it just shoots up crazy and goes way up above zero, okay? And then it comes straight down and actually goes below negative 70, and then it ends up back at 70. So it's this crazy spike. That is called the action potential. And what the action potential is, it's an all or nothing event. Once you hit 55, boom, this happens. And it's just automatic. All action potentials are equal. They're all the same. Once you hit negative 55, everything looks the same. And what you get are three things. You get that up, the uptick, which is the depolarization phase. Then you get the downtick, which is the repolarization phase. And then you get this down here, when you go below negative 70, that's called a hyperpolarization phase, or what we call undershoot. And then, you know, you're probably asking, well, why does this happen? And that's what I want to explain to you. So we begin with the resting state in my next slide. And in the resting state, just a kind of reminder, the sodium channels are closed, the potassium channels are closed. Remember, the sodium-potassium pump is pumping away. It's pumping sodium out, it's pumping potassium in. And as a result, you have a negative 70 millivolt potential. That's called the resting potential. And you can see that illustrated in the graph. There's a red line just sort of horizontal at negative 70. If you look down at my picture, you'll see outside the cell is sodium, inside the cell is potassium. You'll see that there is a sodium channel. You'll see that there's a potassium channel, but you'll note that there's a gate there, and the gate is closed in both channels, so sodium can't come in, potassium can't go out. Yes? That's right. The reason there's a negative charge on the inside is because you got those, if you remember, what did I tell you at the very beginning of this lecture? What's inside the cell that can't get out? Remember? What's that? Yeah. Yes, there are proteins inside, and they're all negative. So that contributes, okay? Now, here's the depolarization event. So when depolarization happens, that's label 2 here, and that's where the spike goes up. That's the action, you know, the beginning of the action potential. And what happens is, once you reach that, you know, you get a graded potential until you reach negative 55, and then as soon as you hit negative 55, boom, it spikes up very quickly. And what causes that spike is the sodium gates swing open, and sodium wants to move down its concentration gradient. It wants to go from the outside of the cell to the inside of the cell, and that is what causes the upshoot, you know, the depolarization, okay? So now if you look at my picture, the inside of the cell becomes more positive than the outside of the cell. Very interesting. In my next slide, this is called the repolarization event, and in repolarization, you come back down from, you know, you're probably up at the peak of the action potential, probably up around plus 35 millivolts. You come crashing back down to negative 70. That's called repolarization. And what causes that is, you'll notice that the sodium gates have now closed, but the potassium gates open. So potassium rushes down its concentration gradient. Potassium leaves the cell, and because it does that, the cell returns to its negative potential on the inside, positive on the outside, you know, back to negative 70. But the problem is, as you see on my next slide, is that you get what's called undershoot. And in undershoot, the potassium rushes out, but it kind of overdoes it before the potassium gates close. And as a result, you actually become more negative on the inside of the cell than you had before. And that's where you drop below negative 70. And that is called hyperpolarization. Now, it's interesting because that hyperpolarization has a special name, that little period of time. And we call it the refractory period. Can everyone say that for me? Refractory. Okay. And during that time, and this is very cool to know, it turns out that during that hyperpolarization phase, this refractory period, you cannot form another action potential. So even though you know there might be the stimuli on the nerve to cause an action potential, it's so hyperpolarized it can't quite get back up to threshold. It's not until you get back to negative 70 that now you could form another action potential. That will become critical in the next couple slides, you'll see. So in my next slide, what you'll see is a nice overview, all in one slide, of everything I've just talked to you about. What I essentially did in the past four slides, this is an illustration from your book. I took each of the stages, 1, 2, 3, and 4, I photoshopped them individually, what's going on at the cell membrane and how that correlates with what's going on electrically, and I put those on each of the slides. Here it's all in one picture. So some of you may find this very helpful just to see that it's a cycle. It just keeps going on and around and around and around. Now, one of the things you need to know, and it's very cool, is that action potentials are self-propagating along the axon. So if here's a blow, here's an axon, and we're going to take a blow up of the membrane, look at this. The first action potential happens down near the axon hillock, and you get a depolarization event, which is, an action potential, just like we showed you. And that will kind of affect the area and the action potential right next to it, which will cause it to depolarize. And so it goes through an action potential, and then that causes the next section of the axon to go through a graded potential until it hits threshold, and it forms an action potential. And it's almost like a domino effect all the way down the axon. I think you can see that. Now, here's my question to you. Let's say the action potential is moving its way from left to right down the axon. What prevents the action potential from starting to go backwards up towards the cell body? Why does it only go, in this case, from left to right? Ravi. Exactly. That hyperpolarization prevents the area that has just undergone an action potential to form a new action potential, and by the time that part of the nerve comes back to negative 70, the action potentials move so far down the axon it can't go backwards. And so this assures that the action potential goes in one direction. It's really brilliant system. Isn't that cool? Now, when the electrical signal gets all the way down, all the way to the end, down to the axon terminal or the synaptic terminal, what's cool is there's a release of neurotransmitter, and that neurotransmitter moves across the synapse and then binds to the next neuron, causing it to form an action potential and so forth. And so what you really have, and when you think about how your nerves work, you've got a nerve, you got a synapse. You got a nerve, you got a synapse. And so what happens is along the nerve, everything's electrical, like I've just shown you. But between the nerves, it's chemical. So it's electrical, chemical, all the way along. Tomorrow's lecture, what we're going to talk about is what happens at the synapse. How do we get information across the synapse? We've just shown you how to get information down the neuron. Tomorrow we'll tackle the synapse. Okay? That's it for today.